Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hi, welcome to the show. We're going to get started here in just a second. But first, last week there was a major issue with our Patreon subscribers not receiving the email alerts when new episodes dropped. It's been an ongoing thing with email alerts failing to make it through the series of tubes to all of our Patreon subscribers. But here's the best solution for that problem. The Patreon app for your smartphone is the best way to stay up to date with new episodes, and it's the best way to listen. Every time there's a new episode, you're going to get an automatic alert on your phone, notifications for the free shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and notifications for the Friday after party and the Shadow Docket shows, too. You can listen at home or in the car with just a couple of swipes, and you can join our community of listeners in the comments under each episode. Subscribe for as little as $1 a month at BobSuskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. Then download the Patreon app from the App Store onto your phone, and you're all set. Thank you for supporting this completely independent podcast, and now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Hey. The Bob Seska Show.
That always fills me with so much confidence. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 30, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 254 of the Biden-Harris administration, 405 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Oh, yeah, and it's the Goth Ninjas right here. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com and patreon.com/from the bunker. Go over there, support the show. It's a great show. And David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast and from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Okay, I think we're ready to start here. We're starting way, way late. I apologize ahead of time for the lateness of today's show. We just get to
I was having a meltdown, and my staff had to play me show tunes to calm me down.
Yes.
I hope they all dressed up in shabby cat costumes, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was one of those days here where we're already getting a late start, and then we start yammering before the show, and that makes us even later. And then I started the show, and suddenly we all of our lines disconnected. So none of us were here for the actual show. And so I'm talking, I'm yammering away. I'm like, where's Jody? Where's David? Oh, shit, they're gone. So we had to start all over again. And here we are. So that's hence the lateness today. Although I would rather blame Kyrsten Sinema for our lateness.
Yes, the moon lost her memory.
Yeah.
Kyrsten. But apparently those poll numbers from Arizona have definitely gotten back to D.C. I was hearing about that all over the weekend.
Yeah.
But she still is just like, I'm so special. Look at me. Look at me.
I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what she's trying to prove.
Fucking idiot.
I mean, did you see Lawrence O'Donnell last night? He was in complete stop the hammering mode when it came to, oh my God, it was
stop the hammering.
It was totally that about Kyrsten Sinema and that ridiculous answer she gave when she was asked, where are you with regards to the Build Back Better bill? And Sinema answered, I'm in the Senate.
My cat's breath smells like cat food, Ralphie.
And then she said, I'm at the elevator.
I know.
You know what? This is like someone who absolutely does not take any of this seriously. She doesn't understand. She is a first-term member of the United States Senate. And look, it's not that I'm necessarily picking on, because there's two of them here. I mean, we're talking about Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Joe Manchin is being insufferable, but he's not necessarily being a dickhole about it. You know what I mean? Kyrsten Sinema is insufferable, but she's being a dickhole about it on top of everything else.
I just feel like she's constantly underscored by the "I have no idea what I'm doing" meme. You know, like
She has no. But you know, I keep going back to the fact that as soon as Joe Biden announced this outside the White House when this deal was first made over these infrastructure packages, that Manchin and Sinema were right there. They were there supporting it, and now they're dealing in bad faith. They're being a-holes. Manchin has been talking about how his limit is $1.5 trillion for this reconciliation bill.
He also just added that the Hyde Amendment has to be included. It's already law.
This is all pandering to someone in West Virginia. I guess there's one person or
a lobbyist.
I was just going to say that. A series of corporations who have interests in. We know for a fact that that's what Kyrsten Sinema is doing, because she had a fundraiser just the other night with a bunch of organizations like the S Corp PAC. I mean, you can't get more corporate than that. The S Corp PAC. They just they named the PAC over the kind of corporation that you can set up with the IRS. And so obviously her interests are with those people who are paying her, who have increased her wealth like I don't know how many times over since she first was inaugurated in the Senate. But is there anybody? I can't think of anyone outside of, you know, S Corp PAC and all of those similar corporations. I can't think of anyone else who's like, yeah, that Kyrsten Sinema, she's doing a fine job. I'm willing to go door to door so she'll get reelected in 2024 or whatever it is.
I just want to shake her like an English nanny.
So yeah, right. But I mean are we all in understanding in terms of what's going on with the congressional hot potato that is these two reconciliation bills? Are we all clear in terms of how this is playing out? The progressives, from what I understand, and I have to say, I'm kind of relying on you, Jody, to give some background on this shit, because I swear to God, I am.
I'm so enthused.
I know. Well, see, this is me trying to defer my enthusiasm to someone else, because I just have no interest in this. And I realize that it's important shit. And we're going to be talking about some of the important things in the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill here in just a second. But the thing is, what we're not being told is that this is just basic sausage making. What they're doing here is a negotiation. And I think what we're getting from some of the usual suspects in the press is the whole Dems in disarray nonsense. And the way the Democrats, and I don't mean all the Democrats when I say the Democrats, I mean the usual suspects. I mean people like Kyrsten Sinema.
If Nancy Pelosi was majority leader, though, this would not be happening in the Senate. I mean, you know, if she was caucusing them, she would have those two in line.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
Chuck Schumer is just not. Well, he doesn't have the balls of a Nancy Pelosi. He doesn't make them fear his wrath.
Well, I don't understand what exactly either of them could do. I don't understand what Chuck Schumer might be able to do. I don't understand what Nancy Pelosi could do. I don't know what Joe Biden could do to muscle Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin in line.
She goes to problematic members and she says, what's it going to take to get your vote on this bill? And then she works shit out. She makes connections. She finds contracts and projects and like helps them get what they want for their district in return for their allegiance to the bill.
I see.
Well, the problem that Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are having with Kyrsten Sinema is when they have asked her what she wants, she won't tell them.
Exactly.
God, she's that fucking nightmare girlfriend that my brother had.
You know what you did
What's wrong? I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know, you don't love me. And it's just like, fuck you, get out.
You know what you did. She literally will. People have gone to her, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, even Joe Manchin, I believe, because Joe Manchin has said, I want this.
Yeah.
Price tag is too tall. Mm-hmm. Basically, he doesn't like a lot of the tax loopholes, which is being closed. That's what he has a problem with. Yeah. It's not the price tag of the bill. It's how it's being paid for. Mark my words.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, okay, I want the Hyde Amendment in, and I only want it to be $1.5 trillion. You can work with that. It's not great, but you can work with that. In fact, Ilhan Omar the other day said, I think it was on Monday, said, look, the price tag isn't as important as what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, likewise.
We can always add money to things
later. But, I mean,
later.
The Pentagon budget is easily, more you than know, that. Yeah. Why aren't we just talking about the, you know, $6 trillion Pentagon bill? Yeah.
Over the next 10 years, right.
It just makes me crazy. It's like we can spend all the money in the world on bombs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what they ought to do is package this $3.5 trillion as being not a $3.5 trillion package, but a $350 billion annual package.
That's exactly. It's a little but bit that, more that's digestible. Not going to happen. The media doesn't like that.
No, they don't.
It's already,
We're
saving like $300 million a day not being in Afghanistan right now. So there's some money lying around.
Are we sure that Kyrsten Sinema isn't giving like super literal answers? Like, you know, what do you want out of this legislation, Kyrsten? What would you like to have here?
Oh, I want a box of Godiva chocolates and a 3-hour shoulder rub.
Well, I'd like to have, I'd like to have world peace and lunch. I'd like to have lunch at some point soon. Will someone bring me lunch?
Here's what Travis sent me. She's opaque when it comes to things.
Yeah.
And even Ro Khanna said this is Ro Khanna, who is part of the Progressive Caucus in the House.
Yeah.
He said this is basically the entire House Democratic Caucus on one side. And 48 senators on one side, the president on one side, really the only obstacle is Sinema.
Yes.
He's not even counting so much Joe Manchin because Manchin will work to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Sinema so far has attended 3 meetings with Biden and other officials, and officials went up to the Capitol Hill yesterday to meet with her. Biden stayed home yesterday to meet with her again and Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
During Wednesday's prep, hold on. He sends me stuff.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Okay. She basically won't tell them what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
That's just how it is.
She doesn't know. She's just being a fly in the ointment. This is some version of Trumpism that she's engaged in here, which is just like, okay, I'm going to be an agent of chaos. This is what I want. I want chaos, and I want to be at the center of chaos. And as everyone's talking about the chaos, I want my name to be right in there too. Kyrsten Sinema. There it is, right next to the word chaos. Isn't that fun? Isn't that great for me? Somehow this in her mind works for her. Who is her chief of staff? Who is her chief political advisor?
I mean, what is her end game?
Yeah, I mean,
there are differing thoughts on the end game with Kyrsten Sinema. And by the way, the House bill that they were going to try to pass today, the bipartisan bill, is not going to be passed because the progressives are not going to vote for it. So therefore, it's not even going to the floor today, the bipartisan hard infrastructure bill.
And
that's not going to the floor because the progressives are like, fuck you.
Well, also the reason is they don't want Manchin and Sinema to suddenly go, now that we've got what we wanted, which is the bipartisan infrastructure bill, who really needs this other one with all of its things in it?
All the things that will put us on a par with the rest of the world.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about
things that will be very popular in both Arizona and West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's some of the things that we're talking about in this $3.5 trillion reconciliation.
$350 billion annual budget.
Thank you. Yes. Exactly. 2 free years of community college, right?
Awesome.
That's there. Child care and universal pre-K. All right. Medicare expansion. This would add dental, hearing, vision services. It would also, I think there's a proposal to lower the age to 60 for eligibility for Medicare.
Yay! Yeah. 5 years and some change away. Woohoo!
Extended child tax credit. Can we please start calling this a tax cut? For fuck's sake. You know what? This is why, I'm sorry to start yelling here, but this is why.
We are still in Act One, but go ahead.
I know. But this is why Democrats have a really, really hard time connecting with people, because no one gives a shit about a tax credit. No one can define what a tax credit is. Mark Levin on his show the other night was talking about how this is obviously the second coming of communism in the United States, the child tax credit. This is one of the things that he was bent out of shape over on Fox News the other night. He was bent out of shape over a tax cut based on supporting children. I mean, you think these people
Isn't
are
that
all
their
about
thing?
It's both of them are is their thing. The children and tax cuts. It combines Republicans' 2 favorite things into one big pile. And they think that this is the next coming of Marxism or some shit. And so, okay, we continue here. The fully expanded child tax cut is available to individuals making up to $75,000 or married couples making up to $150,000.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, plus it cuts child poverty in half.
Yep.
God damn it. That's a big accomplishment that could be further expanded with this legislation. Meanwhile, it would cut prescription drug prices, paid family and medical leave. Of course, there's a huge section of this addressing the climate crisis. Combating the climate crisis and showing the rate. By the way, I keep stumbling on this because it keeps saying climate change in this article I'm reading from CBS News. It's the climate crisis. Now, climate change is a Republican meme. Combating the climate crisis and slowing the rate at which Earth warms will mean transitioning away from fossil fuels. Doy. One provision that Manchin has objected to is the $150 billion dollar clean electricity performance program, which would pay utility companies that increase their renewable energy supplies by 4% per year. There are also measures to incentivize the buying of electric vehicles and the construction of charging stations, consumer rebates to homeowners who weather fit their houses, financial penalties for oil and gas producers for methane leaks, among other things. Holy shit. And then some of the lesser known provisions in the $350 billion annual package.
There you go.
The massive bill has a slew of lesser known provisions as well. For instance, the bill would authorize $5 million a year for the SBA, the Small Business Administration, for an entrepreneurial program for formerly incarcerated individuals. The bill also directs $2.5 billion for the Justice Department to award competitive grants or contracts to local governments. And, of course, they plan to pay for all of this with the hike in the corporate tax rate from 21% to 26%. Jesus Christ, I can see why Manchin's so pissed off about this. Shit.
I mean, a lot of his big donors are coal mine owners.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the great Bruce Bartlett had a perfect idea for this, and he posted it on Twitter earlier today. You know, Manchin wants the legislation limited to $1.5 trillion. Well, right. Bruce Bartlett had this great idea. Cut all the money from Republican states that have two Republican senators.
Done. I'm in.
Yeah. I thought I was totally in. Right.
Not only are my senators Democrats, they're fine Democrats.
Yeah. I mean, if we have to cut money out of this legislation because Joe Manchin's being a dick, then why not take it from the Republican states who won't vote for it anyway? This is the same old shit we go through all the time. And I'm glad about this. I'm happy that they seem to be moving forward with funding the government.
I meant to ask if there's been any movement on that this morning.
Yes, yeah. The Senate just passed the continuing resolution. It's going down to the House for them to pass it. And then they're going to fund the government through December 3rd, but the debt ceiling needs to be raised by the middle of October. And then there's arguing, and I like this argument, that that has been bantied about since Newt Gingrich did this to Bill Clinton. 14th Amendment guarantees that the debt of these United States will never be messed with, basically, in a mild way of saying that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of constitutional minds are saying to Biden, look, blow through the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
Just tell Yellen to keep paying the bills. Just blow through it. We got money coming in. Just blow through it. And dare the GOP to sue you.
I see. So basically what they're saying is just don't raise the debt limit, but
don't bother with it,
but behave as if it was raised.
Yeah. Why? I mean, for me, it's like, okay, so like I have a credit card that I use for Amazon.
Yeah.
That only has a $500 limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So every now and then I'll blow through it.
Yeah.
But I'll pay it.
Right.
I've spent the money.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm not going to pay. I blew through the limit. They stopped me from using it. But this would just stop some borrowing, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I say just, first off, it's not constitutional. It's not in the Constitution. It's just a law that we could and should take off the books.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a dumb law. It's just a fucking stupid law. And considering somebody called today on Stephanie's show that our debt right now that we owe on is about $27 to $28 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, most of that all about it, all except for about maybe $1 trillion of that, is just since Reagan.
Yeah.
And most of that was just Republican presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And about $8 to $9 trillion of that was just the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, see, the problem is, though, people like Joe Manchin, certainly the Republicans. I mean, let's make no mistake here. One of the reasons we're in this fucking conundrum with this legislation and with the with funding the government, with the debt ceiling, it's because of the Republicans. We just don't mention them because it comes down to real politic and knowing that it's, well, it's really the votes of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema that it can't get passed. But it's ultimately, you know, whatever it is, 50 Republicans who are just being assholes about all of this. Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to this, what they always do is suddenly austerity becomes a thing at the worst possible times. I mean, we are, in many ways, we're on the precipice of disaster. And it's just like any second.
I think that whole paradigm has been thoroughly debunked. The whole idea that the rich continuing to do their thing while everyone else tightens their belts and it's going to fix the economy, that didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work in Europe. It didn't work here. I think it's pretty much, I hope, that it has been rightly consigned to the scrap heap of history.
Mm. Well, the problem is because, yes, I think voters are hip to it after 40 years of this bullshit.
Yeah.
I think we're finally going, yeah, trickle down doesn't work. It was supply side economics. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Just never has, it never will.
Oh, it trickles down. It's just a golden shower.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And but the problem is voters now don't have control over their vote in certain states.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, we have seen massive spending bills over the past year and a half that have passed relatively easily, that never would have passed prior to the pandemic. So there is a little bit of movement. There is a little abandonment of supply side trickle down. Right. And this is obviously movement that has been historically, at least in the past year and a half, supported by Republicans as well. But now it comes down to Republicans wanting to sabotage the Joe Biden administration, sabotage the Democrats in Congress in advance of the midterms, in advance of 2024. So they're going to drag their feet. They're not going to do what they need to do. They're not going to vote the same way they voted when Trump was president. They're not going to continue that trend anymore because obviously the change of hands. But now, so now it comes down to, oh, my God, these two opportunists, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And this is the strategy. The strategy is me, me, me. Look at me. Look what I want. This is what I want. And you better give me what I want. Otherwise, I'm going to screw all of you with your pants on. So obviously, while we're doing this show, it's possible that the vote happened in the House and it probably failed if it did, if it was eventually brought up. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has been saying for some time now that she'll never bring up the vote if she doesn't have the votes.
She's not going to bring that vote for the Build Back Better bill. She's not bringing that to the floor.
So it's not,
I can guarantee
it's not
she's
happening.
Not bringing
okay.
it.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
I think Jayapal announced that the Progressive Caucus wouldn't vote, or at least enough of them wouldn't vote for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there, it's not, if it's announced she's not, doesn't have the votes, and she probably gave Jayapal the permission to come out into the press. Mm-hmm. Trust me, she would not, that we wouldn't have heard about that. Nancy Pelosi would have just said, we're not bringing in the vote to the floor because we don't have the votes. She wouldn't have put it on anybody. Mm-hmm. She would have said, we just don't have the votes right now. We're waiting for the Senate, which is tying my hands right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she did say that yesterday. How can I move something forward that the Senate is tying my hands on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, any sensible person has got to understand why this is, why the progressives would back away from supporting the bipartisan bill.
Of course.
Because they don't want to get screwed over when it comes to the other legislation, which is, to me, the really serious and
important one.
Yeah, the super important one. I mean, obviously, the bipartisan infrastructure plan is good for jobs, and we need improved infrastructure and, you know, the roads and bridges. But this other thing,
both of them are jobs bills, if you think about
it. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
with
absolutely.
Child care being offered and certain other things being offered, people can then go to work.
Exactly right. But I mean, what I meant to say is the bipartisan bill is exclusively those things, whereas the Build Back Better Act, the $3.5 trillion, is you know, about a wide variety of things that all feed into, generally speaking, the idea of infrastructure. And there are some additional things in there too, but this is all stuff that people voted on in 2020. This is all things that are supported by practically a supermajority of Americans. I don't know what the latest numbers are, but they've got to be in the 60 to 70% range. I'm just guessing. I haven't seen the latest polls on the Build Back Better. But it's immensely supportive, especially when you go down item by item and you ask people, well, do you support this? Do you support the expansion of Medicare? I mean, especially people who vote. People who vote have got to love the Medicare expansion, dental, hearing, vision services added to that. The people at Medicare honestly, age, those are the people who vote.
If Republicans think black or Latin people are going to get it, they will vote against it. They will vote against themselves getting free health care if they think it means some black person will get it.
Right, right.
It's well,
that's
so
true
bizarre.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's no wonder, you know, our situation in this country is so confused, especially when it comes to matters of economy and finances and so on. I don't know if you guys saw this clip from CNBC on Squawk Box.
Where this guy's supposed to be like an authority.
Yeah, he is. Hey, David, could you jump up on your microphone a little closer?
Yeah, sorry. I was rolling my eyes extra hard.
Oh, okay. So this guy claims to be a financial expert. He's a host. He's one of the main hosts on CNBC. Has no idea what Ireland is and how it's a sovereign nation. He thinks it's... Okay, well, let's play the clip here. This guy completely fucks. Oh, my God.
It hurts so bad.
Yeah, this is a guy giving
and
other
the guy
people-
from Ireland has come here. You can see he's ready to talk policy. He's ready to talk world economics, the euro. He's ready to talk about the EU.
Yeah.
And this guy is just like, what do you... Well, he'll play it.
Why do you use the euro? What's the deal with the euro? What I don't understand. I'm confused.
What has the weaker euro meant in terms of tourism?
Yes, so I think... Ireland's a very globalized economy, so we look to what's happening here as much as we do to what's happening in Europe, and we look to what's happening in growth.
You have pounds markets. Anyway, don't you, still?
We have euros.
Yep. Okay, here we go. The guy interrupting and asking, you got pounds, right? You're using pounds there.
They use the euro. I was in Ireland. Trust me, it's a euro.
Yeah, which is exactly what the Irish financial expert says. Yeah, yeah.
You know, England did the Brexit thing, and so they're still on pounds, and Ireland didn't. I mean, it's a huge...
Because it's a separate country. It's a separate nation. And this guy from CNBC has no fucking clue.
You have euros in Ireland?
We have euros, yes, which has...
Why you have euros in Ireland?
A strong recovery. Why wouldn't...
Well, I don't understand. Why you got euros in Ireland? I don't... Why? Why?
Why wouldn't we? I'd love the... I mean, it's like, you're, with all due respect, sir, you're a fucking idiot.
I don't get it. What's happening?
We have euros in Ireland.
Huh? What? I'd use the pound.
No, we've had the euro for some time, and we're very happy with it.
What about Scotland? I was using Scottish
pounds.
Wow. This guy doesn't know the difference between Scotland, Ireland, England. He does where the islands are in relation to each other, what money systems they use, and he's an expert who's on television for hours and hours giving financial advice. Yeah, mm-hmm. Giving people financial advice. That's exactly right, David.
Yeah. Scottish pounds. So they use sterling.
They use sterling,
but we use euro. Yeah.
What?
What?
Why would you do?
What? Oh my God!
Like he doesn't believe him. You know. You know, he's like, for this guy, he's the CEO of some Irish investment group, has come here to talk about world economics, and the guy's like, you're lying.
Yeah.
You use euros in Ireland?
And he's like, and he's totally confused, like,
what?
What? I have no idea.
Why wouldn't we?
What's going on?
Blow to the head today.
Yeah, he's like, what? Oh, Ireland's a completely different country.
What?
God damn it, these morons. Holy shit.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Why didn't Scotland? No wonder they want to break
away.
We're
part of the UK. We're not.
Aren't you right next to...
We're very close.
Oh yeah, because Ireland is right next to England. Therefore, it's the same.
What?
First off, it's separated by water, but...
What did you say, Jody?
Scotland is right on top of England.
What?
What? Ireland is that's like saying, why doesn't Canada use the dollar?
I know. Yeah, it's because, right,
I know,
Canada.
But they do, they use Canadian dollars, but
what?
It's...
Fucking hell. I'm going to rewind a little bit so we can get a full flavor of what we're...
Why doesn't Malta use the pound?
Why didn't Scotland?
How about Portugal?
No, part of the UK, we're not.
Aren't you right next to...
We're very close, but entirely separate.
It's sort of the same island, isn't it?
No.
And in the north of Ireland, they have sterling. But
they do?
We use euro, yes.
Oh, my God.
Did he just wait, hold, please.
Yes.
Did he just say, aren't you connected to England?
Yes.
No, aren't you, it's the same island, he said.
Yeah, aren't you, no, they're not. No,
aren't
no,
you
no,
right
no.
there next to them? That's like saying, like, I live next to a Jewish family. Well, aren't you Jewish? You live right next to the Jews. You know, it's just like.
Why doesn't Cuba use the U.S. dollar? Why, oh my fucking God.
Yeah, how do you get a job? I don't understand this. This guy who doesn't know the difference between Ireland and Scotland is probably making more than $1 million a year.
He needs to be fired. He should look at my email because I can do math.
Yes, I know.
But, you know, it's the same thing as that Jim Cramer guy. I don't know what these people's expertise is, but they're, like, consistently wrong. Like, yeah. 180 degrees wrong.
What? Yeah, but this is just utter stupidity based on geography.
And you know what Jim Cramer's thing is? Jim Cramer, his whole MO is he picks stocks on his show that immediately shoot through the roof just because he mentioned them.
Yeah.
And people watch the Jim Cramer show because he mentions all these stocks and then they immediately go and buy the stock that he mentions.
And
so he is like, in a way, it's
thing.
Yes, for an hour every night on CNBC, Jim Cramer manipulates the stock market. That's true. It's
a
true.
Friend of mine described it to me as tying a big bow around a watermelon, throwing it out the window and opening up the phones.
All right, on
that
note.
That's what those stock schemes work like.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more show right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Shut myself down before someone gets hurt. I can't fight, not tonight. I never want to tell you that you don't have a voice. I've been thinking all night and I made a bad choice.
Yeah, brand new to the show. I love this song. This is Dominic Romano and Michael David. The song is called Listen. I got the link in the description for their Linktree. If you guys want to know what Linktree is, it's Linktree/... Dominic Romano music. All right. But if you go to BobSeska.com, click on the link for this episode, you will find all the links for all of our indie bands here that we play on today's show. God. Really good stuff. Shit. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. Okay. Getting back into things here. Shit. Christy
Did
Gnome.
You hear the one about Christy Gnome?
We're tracking together, David. It's I don't know what's going on, but we're thinking the same thing. You're Christy Gnome and Corey Lewandowski.
Corey Lewandowski must be like slinging some hard, high quality log, because I mean he's had more affairs.
Ooh, David.
I mean, because he just is not a handsome guy. He's got no lips.
He's gross. Yeah.
He's got Popeyes, like one of those squeezy rubber toys. You know. He seems to have a temper like a fucking, you know, honey badger, and yet he keeps.
Well, what I want to know is who's trying to torpedo Kristi Noem for 2024. That's the big question, because there was a recent poll showing Ron DeSantis basically neck and neck with Donald Trump for the 24 nomination. So Ron DeSantis on the rise. That's bad news for Kristi Noem, who has been cuddling up to Donald Trump. And I think Trump is also backing away from Ron DeSantis, obviously, because Ron DeSantis is a serious threat to Donald Trump.
Right.
So
I don't understand how these people keep failing up. I mean, they are standing on top of piles of bodies at this point.
I know. It's confounding to me, David. I have no idea. I mean, Republican Party should have been decimated after that insurrection and after the uncontrolled pandemic killing, under Donald Trump in particular, killing over 400,000 Americans. It should have been
as of today, we've hit 700,000 deaths. Oh,
God damn it.
God damn it.
God damn it. And so much of that, obviously, is attributable to Donald Trump, even though he's not president anymore. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump was unprepared to face the pandemic. He didn't act when he should have.
He didn't want to.
Right.
He wasn't just unprepared. I mean, he was in complete and total denial about it. And
oh, yeah.
It's been catastrophic. And I can't get over it. I still just like, you know, because I've been writing about pandemics and reading about pandemics for like a dozen years. And everything that I read up to this pandemic said the world is overdue for a major pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. And we even had a pandemic preparedness team in the White House and a plan that they just completely just took a big shit on.
Right. I mean, you were on top of this way before anyone from the Trump administration was talking about it, David. And you're on this podcast and delivering bread for a living. This was the fucking White House that had at its disposal the CDC and all of these other agencies that could monitor this shit. And with a roadmap in terms of what the government response should be in that scenario, when the government response should be launched, and so on.
They threw that out in 2018.
They threw it all out.
What
I was leading up to was the reason we're here in this position with Trump no longer president and people still acting like dicks about this is because of the Liberate Michigan nonsense that happened. About 2 months into the Trump response to the pandemic?
In April, and it was right after the reporting that blue states and people of color were the only ones dying from the disease, because prior to that, the administration was going to send out 5 masks to every household through the postal service.
Yeah.
And then once they found out it was mainly hitting people of color and people in democratically run states, Kushner and company went, well, let's just let it run its course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what?
Sure has come back around because
now they're all
hospitals
dying.
Hospitals are full of Republicans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing from my friends in healthcare. It's just row after row after.
Yep.
And as I said on the show the other day, I wonder if all of these election laws based on the big lie are meant to balance out all of the dying Republicans. You know what I mean?
It could be that.
And the more I think about it, the more serious I get about it. it's not so much a joke anymore.
Well, you're not necessarily wrong, but there are discussions going on in GOP circles. Like, look, we're killing our own constituents.
Yeah.
And then some people are arguing, well, it's only 1%, so the rest of them will vote. But they're not considering long-haul COVID patients that may not be able to get to vote that may want to vote. So are they going to now go back to mail-in voting for their constituents that can't get out? I mean, it's a very interesting thing because long haul COVID can be very debilitating through an election, certainly.
Yeah.
And 37 or between 30 and 37% of the people that get COVID can get long haul COVID.
I'm just thinking because of, for example, Donald Trump's recent attacks against Mitch McConnell and others, I think Kevin McCarthy has even fallen out of favor with Donald Trump, that eventually this split that we've been talking about for many, many years now between the Trump side of the Republican Party and the establishment Republican Party seems to be we're headed in that direction again. We're headed toward a split. It seems to me as if that has to happen. It's not just something that should happen or maybe will happen. Kind of has to happen. The Republican establishment needs to abandon Donald Trump. And some people say, yes, and I kind of agree with this notion, that the Trump Republican Party is now the establishment Republican Party. They hold all the cards. But there is that traditional group of Republicans who, you know, are just kind of humoring Donald Trump and going along and pretending to be part of it, but their hearts really aren't in it. And eventually they're going to go, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. You're killing our voters with all of your anti-vax weirdos, and it's causing violence. It's causing problems for us now. So bye-bye. Go away, please. And maybe that'll happen. I don't know, but it needs to happen. You know, we're going to come back to Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski here in a minute, because there are a couple of other things along those lines that worth talking about. But now that we're talking about COVID, we do have some good news. And you know how we've been discussing for some time now with regard to anti-vaxxers, anti-mask people, anti-mandate people, how to an extent they need to be shamed, almost like cigarette smokers have been shamed over the past couple of decades, maybe 3 decades at this point. It's really happening now. YouTube has now.
Not in certain places, though. I mean, we've got to. Went to like a harvest fair thing over the weekend in North Georgia with her niece, and they got harassed to the point that her niece was in tears, and she was just like, we've got to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, certainly we're still in the early stages of it. You're not going to see the results of this right away. But when it comes to the culture rising up against these shirkers, here it is. YouTube has banned all anti-vax content from its platform. Yeah. That's a major, major fucking victory, because YouTube is a hotbed. You know, you just need to get Facebook on board now.
It never happened. That guy is just out to lunch.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg, I don't think, was ever super smart to begin with. I mean, he had like a certain genius for programming or whatever, but like in terms of his moral compass, I just think he's completely out to lunch.
Yeah, sure. And one thing we're going to be talking about on the Shadow Docket this week on our Patreon page is the Facebook files. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Wall Street Journal reporting about, oh my God, what's really happening behind the scenes at Facebook that's contrary to Facebook's public face. It's incredible. That's all coming up on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com. Sign up for $5 a month, and you get the Shadow Docket. Meantime...
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Dianne Feinstein has just introduced a bill which would require airline passengers on domestic flights to be vaccinated, test negative, or be fully recovered from a previous COVID illness.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, just wait. Ben Shapiro's going to be like, they're going to be putting us in boxcars next. They're fucking martyrs.
You do not have a right to fly on an airplane.
No.
No. No, certainly not. You do not have a right to spread a virus.
Thank you.
I feel like calling it insanity is just completely undersells how
it's
awful
it is.
It's
a benign word. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I just had my booster shot. Thank you very much.
Oh, great.
Can I get a round of applause on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Pfizer Incorporated. Because I've had like multiple coworkers at another job go down with COVID because of the customers and the other place I work is in a different county. It doesn't have a mask ordinance, and people just are rolling up in there, coughing on you while you're trying to ring them up. And
oh,
it's just,
God damn it. So once you've had the booster, now that you've had a booster, what is your level of protection?
I think that, because obviously this is new, but I think with Israel doing the boosters, we have some data on it. I should have asked Dr. Red Lenner that this morning. From what I understand, it puts you back up depending on whether it's Pfizer or Moderna, but Moderna, it's only Pfizer people that can get boosters right now. I believe it puts you back up into 90% efficacy.
Wow, nice.
Still going to wear a mask everywhere.
Absolutely, same here. I get my booster.
Like in the 80s, I just like treat everyone like they have HIV and you won't go wrong.
Yeah, I saw a meme today on Facebook with a photograph of a bridge going across a gigantic body of water. And it said, this bridge is only 99% effective, so try swimming. Yeah.
Yeah, no, right. my booster is 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, good. What qualifies you for a booster now?
Me? Oh, all sorts of things. And Dr. Red Lenner did delineate that this morning. Not just your normal stuff like heart disease or cancer, hypertension, which was not initially a way to get the first shots. I couldn't get it earlier than I got it because they didn't count that. But now with new data, they're like, no, people with hypertension are at a greater risk of catching COVID. Obesity, and not even if you just look obese, but hey, what's your BMI?
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. And then with the CDC allowing people that work in the general public they can all get the boosters, like grocery store clerks, obviously, healthcare workers, nursing home people, those kind of people.
Retail workers.
Retail worker. Anybody that's working in the public is allowed to get.
I got infected, like, and I went around and did my routes. Right. You know, shedding virus on people, like, from one restaurant to another. Like, that would just, You know,
yeah, especially people that prepare food. So it's a broad range of people, 18 and over, who can get the boosters right now. And children 12 and over that have other comorbidities like diabetes and obesity and other things that they may have. So there's a list on the CDC's website on who is eligible for boosters. So everybody should go to the CDC website and look for that. And it's an alphabetical list of if you have asthma, obviously, you know, cancer patients, obviously, you know, certain heart disease. But hypertension now is also one of those comorbidities. It's the only thing good about me having hypertension.
Thank you, Jody. Yeah, that was very, very service-y and informative.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
People straight to the CDC website.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, the complete other end of the spectrum where Jody knows what she's talking about and is able to articulate it very clearly, very informatively. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we have Joe Rogan, who is deeply, deeply confused about what the fuck is going on. He said on his show this week, this is not over. This is just the beginning, referring to COVID. This pandemic thing is just beginning. We're going to have to figure out a way to deal with this kind of stress in a better way, because I don't think this is going away, and I think this is going to get worse.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Cause meet effect.
Yeah.
Well, here's yeah, no shit. Dr. Redlener, and I mean, I've been saying this since last year. This is an endemic disease. This is going to be like the flu, because like the common cold, which is also a coronavirus, you can catch more than one cold a year.
Yeah.
And as we know, people have caught COVID more than once, and whether they're vaccinated or not.
Yep.
And so, basically, we're going to need at least one booster this year, and most likely the entire population that is eligible for their vaccines will be able to get probably by the end of this year their boosters. I can't imagine not doing that. So the question I had for Dr. Redlener this morning was, do you know if we're going to need them annually or biannually in the distant, you know, in the near future? He says, we don't have the data on that yet.
Right.
But he does believe that this is going to be like the flu is, because the flu mutates just like this disease does. And so we're going to probably have to do that. But it'll most likely be mRNA vaccines. And then Pfizer is actually coming up with an oral medication.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have read that. And he explained to me that basically, okay, you go and you get tested for COVID. You've got it. You get a prescription for this drug. And it's not just Pfizer. There's other manufacturers that are trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And you take it and it kills the viral load in you. It doesn't just stop it from replicating like the vaccines do, because you can catch COVID and you still have it and you can still spread it around. But with this, these drugs look very promising in that if they do what they're told, you get the disease, but it kills the virus inside of you.
I didn't hear anything that you said, Jody, after you said oral. I was just like, oral.
So, but the main complication of antiviral drugs of the past is that they are targeting DNA.
Right.
Like a virus is made of nothing but DNA and RNA.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and so, but when you do that, you end up, your body's made of DNA and RNA. So typically antiviral drugs in the past have been super toxic.
Yeah.
Right.
So if they can make an antiviral drug that is that narrowly specific and just kills the RNA and DNA of the invading virus, that is a major, major breakthrough. That
and that can help with HIV. I mean, can you imagine?
I was just about to say HIV.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, here's how the conversation continued on the Joe Rogan show after he announced that, oh, it's never going away. Well, he continued by lamenting the pandemic's psychological effect on young adults. Rogan expanded the conversation further by speaking of the difficulties of having very young children wear masks. He said, you haven't seen the videos of people getting kicked off airplanes because their two-year-old won't keep a mask on his face, Rogan said. It's the saddest shit of all time. They're crying because they can't fucking breathe right, and it just feels uncomfortable. And not only that, it doesn't make any sense. Well, you know what would make them able to breathe even less? Is being on a ventilator. This is so irresponsible. He's like, oh, yeah, this is never going to end, and kids shouldn't have to wear masks.
The real victims here are the people who aren't complying.
But, I mean, you see the confusion here. It's like, oh, we're stuck with this, and it's psychological effect. And, oh, by the way, these children are, oh, they can't breathe because they have to wear masks. They shouldn't have to wear masks. She's like, Jesus Christ. Well, that's why it's never going to end.
With like a three-year-old, and the guy's wearing a mask, and the three-year-old is just standing there coughing, not covering his mouth, not, just coughing. And I'm imagining just like tiny geysers of, viral particles just erupting from this kid. Like he's a freaking, what are those things that they use in the holy mass when they sprinkle holy water on the congregation?
The doohickey thing.
A mitre or a scepter or something.
The doohickey thing is exactly what it's called.
The doohickey thingy. Yeah. I was
in Catholic school for 8 years, so I know exactly what the doohickey thing is. So
I totally do too, but I don't know what it's called. No, I mean Carl Frisch, who works on the school board in his county, he said that it's the kids aren't having the issues with wearing the masks; it's the parents.
It's the parents, yep.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can make wearing a mask fun for kids.
Sure, you can. Obviously, it's fun. It could be fun.
So you put superhero stuff on it and they're
Yes. I mean, my grandmother made for me a full-headed Spider-Man mask when I was five years old. And I fucking wore that thing everywhere.
You were that kid.
I was that kid. God. I loved wearing masks. This is fun. It's totally fun. It's exactly right.
Yeah.
With the parents, it's all about we love Donald Trump and we cannot show disloyalty to Donald Trump by making our kids wear a mask. That's what that's all about. It has nothing to do with the kids or the masks or the uncomfortable nature of wearing a mask. It has everything to do with we're waving our Trump flag. See the flag that we use on our boat parades and shit? That's what this is, except it's in...
But God damn it, it's like they're afraid of chemtrails and they're afraid of vaccines, but they're not afraid of the fucking coronavirus.
Yeah, right. I know.
Hello, I mean,
There's a picture going around.
It's frying my brain. I'm really like... I'm getting to where I'm so tired of feeling like I'm carrying the burden of other people's selfishness and irresponsibility that when I see people at the grocery store without masks on, I really just want to rush up to them and just start furiously kicking.
Yeah.
You know, just like...
just scream in their face.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Yep, exactly that. My God. Okay, we're going to take one last break and come back, and we're going to get back into the Christy Gnome, Corey Lewandowski thing right after these words. Stand by.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
By the way, I don't know what's going on with Bubble Genius. The website isn't back up yet. There's sort of a placeholder page there. But I'm assured they will eventually be back, making the best soap in the world. So we keep playing their commercials. I hope you don't mind. This is the great Elijah Bone. Another track from Elijah Bone, one of my faves here on the show. A song called Rock Mullet. And that's R-O-K, Mullet. Rock Mullet. ElijahBone.com. And by the way, if you haven't listened to the Wednesday interview show yet, holy God, as soon as you're done listening to today's shows, you make sure to listen to the rest of this show that you're listening to right now. go back and listen to Wednesday's show with the great Tara Dublin. We talked to Tara Dublin on the show yesterday about her fracas with Matt Gaetz. Tara went up to Battleground, Washington, to cover a Joe Kent rally. Joe Kent is running as a MAGA candidate in the Republican primary, and Matt Gaetz was scheduled to speak at the rally. And Tara went up there and then posted a video later, her saying, oh, yes, here's me. I'm in enemy territory, and there's hardly anyone here, yada, yada, yada. And so then Matt Gaetz starts going after her and targeting Tara Dublin. Oh,
she's too old for you, Matt.
And right. smart. And I mean, not that the girls aren't smart that were with him, but still, I mean, come on, she's way too old for him.
Yeah. So you got to listen to the show. Tara Dublin, wonderful, wonderful guest. We covered lots of ground. We even talked about radio a little bit. We talked about our friend Chez a little bit. Tara knew Chez. It's, of course, available wherever you get this here podcast. You can't miss it. So Corey Lewandowski, Christy Noem, a couple of bits of development here in terms of the story. Lewandowski has been fired from Save America PAC. As a consequence of this, and
he'll be back.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So that pretty much confirms it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just a rumor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he has been, but I guarantee you he'll be back.
But I think this might have to do with
like a cold sore.
Yeah, I think this has but this has more to do with the groping allegations against Corey Lewandowski. Mm. This has to do with this Trump donor has accused Lewandowski of repeatedly groping her and making unwanted sexual comments at a Las Vegas charity event last week. Trishelle Odom says Corey Lewandowski repeatedly touched me inappropriately, said vile and disgusting things to me, stalked me, and made me feel violated and fearful. She added Corey bragged multiple times about how powerful he is and how he can get anyone elected, inferring he was the reason Trump became president. Yeah, he was. He got fired.
How much coke is he doing?
He's doing all the coke.
Yeah. Remember, it's like the last 15 minutes of Scarface, you know, like it must be
right
for him to feel entitled and like inflated enough to just be like, I mean, Jesus.
Well,
and donors are the people that you don't piss off under any circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. And so meanwhile,
what he did to her was so gross.
So Corey Lewandowski and Christy Noem are fucking, and because of this story now, Christy...
Well, that's a rumor.
Well, rumor, whatever. But Noem has now cut ties to Lewandowski.
Smart.
As a consequence, I think, of this other story. Because if these stories are all true, then Lewandowski...
She got her tubes tied for Lewandowski? What did you say?
did I say that?
Oh, no, she cut her tie. Okay.
Cut her ties. Yeah, she's cut ties with Lewandowski. But she's married, isn't she? And she's having an affair with Lewandowski. And then meanwhile, Lewandowski is groping this Trump donor in Las Vegas, which probably is pissing off Christy Noem, not only because Christy Noem was fucking Lewandowski, but because now he's kind of cheating on her, too.
The governor needs to go and get checked for STDs.
Yeah, you think?
Because it seems like Corey has got around.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he got Hope Hicks, didn't he? Wasn't he with her for a minute? And then he was with...
Yeah, and well, and then he roughed up that reporter. During the primaries in 2016, there was a thing where he got into a physical fracas, like he was trying to push. He was shoving a reporter
away. Like a Breitbart reporter.
Yeah, that's right. It was a Breitbart reporter. I forgot about that. But very clearly, if the rumor about the affair is untrue, then it probably came from a non-Trump Republican organization or persons.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if Noem is with Trump.
I want it to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I want her career to go down like a flaming airliner.
Right.
Crashing into the ocean because like I just – like she has been so negligent and just shown such wanton disregard for public safety on the pandemic that she deserves – I mean – all that and worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what happened to people's bullshit detector in this country? I mean, we kind of know some of the reasons why people now have a busted bullshit detector. They can't see that Christy Noem is so full of shit. They can't see that people like Joe Rogan is full of shit. Kyrsten Sinema, full of shit. And Christy Noem and Corey Lewandowski, Donald Trump, and
that's
obviously
what I've been wondering this whole time. Like, what happened to people's gut instincts?
Yeah.
Like, would you buy a car from Christy Noem? Like,
I mean, how many years has The Simpsons been on the air where one of the main characters is Troy McClure, who's, no, who is it?
Right.
Who is the huckster on
Dr.
The Simpsons?
Nick?
Dr. Nick, yeah. Well, there is Dr. Nick Riviera.
Hi, everybody.
Right.
Oh, Lonnie, who's the guy that grifts everybody on The Simpsons, comes in and
is he the guy with the monorail plan?
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
No, he was played by Phil Hartman. But mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not Dr. Nick. He's the lawyer guy.
It's not Troy McClure.
Troy McClure. He's the actor.
Our listeners are just screaming at us.
They are screaming at us right now.
I know.
And Lonnie's like, it's huge Simpsons, especially old school Simpsons.
Right.
He's Googling it for us because, yeah, you know, he's too. Very helpful like that. You know,
Phil Hartman.
It's not Dr. Nick. Lionel Hutz.
Lionel Hutz. Thank you. Holy shit. Thank you, Jelani. Lonnie Paul helping us out here. Between the three of us, no. So, Lonnie with some quick research. Yes, Lionel Hutz. Exactly fucking right. Yeah, I mean, Lionel Hutz on television once a week, every week for the last, what, since the 80s.
Yeah.
The Simpsons started in the 80s.
Yes, it did.
And people are like, oh my God, that Donald Trump really tells the truth. Ah, Kristi Noem, she's genuine. She's salt of the earth. She's one of the folks. No, 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 no. No, no.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Does this mean that Republican, there's a species of Republican women that likes that kind of come on?
No, it's about power.
It's about power, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Plus, for Kristi Noem, imagine Kristi Noem wanting to cuddle up to Donald Trump, wanting to be part of the entire MAGA clan. So how do you do that? What, you start fucking one of the main MAGAs. She starts fucking one of the top shelf red hats, and that's Corey Lewandowski.
Oh my God, this feels like a would you ever thing, isn't it? It's like, who's the least repellent?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like if you went to mm-hmm. either of the sons, it's just a complete non-starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
My name is Eric. Shut up. Put this bag over your head.
But I mean, this shows that Kristi Noem is not only a fraud, but she's a fucking moron on top of all the rest of it. Because she got involved with Corey Lewandowski, and what happens immediately after this news comes out, he's accused of sexual assault in a completely separate story. So it's like she ran face first. Yeah, I know.
Kristi Noem or Brian Kemp?
Oh, that's a good question. You have to throw in Ron DeSantis in there, too. And let's say Charlie Kirk is the benchmark for dumbness.
Stupid!
Yeah, he's very stupid. Where is Brian Kemp in relation to Charlie Kirk? He's got to be a little bit smarter.
I think even Charlie Kirk knows we don't have a vaccine for HIV.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? Donald Trump thinks we do. Donald Trump was saying at his rallies while he was still president, we have cured AIDS, he was saying. And that is not actually true.
Just the face melting stupidity of these people.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's the AIDS vaccine was Brian Kemp's latest, but there was another thing that didn't quite make the national. I can't remember it right now because it was one of those things that I heard and it immediately made me want to just like throw myself into a tiger trap and be impaled on sharp sticks.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, lots of stupids. We're surrounded by fucking stupid people. By the way, Politico Morning Consult poll, 56% of Americans support the bipartisan infrastructure bill, just 27% oppose. I guess I just, that's the bipartisan one. 57% believe the $1 trillion price tag for the bill is either the right amount or too little to spend.
I agree.
How about that shit? 40% of Americans approve of the job the Supreme Court is doing, a record low. Somehow these numbers are familiar to me. I may have read these already on the Tuesday show, so forgive me. 51%, this is a brand new one. 51% of Texas voters say Governor Greg Abbott does not deserve to be reelected.
Yes.
That's a big fucking deal. 51%.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I think Beto O'Rourke is just like, fuck yeah. Beto O'Rourke's like, yeah, sign me up. I'm running. 36%
those
of Texas.
Those two, him and the lieutenant governor, are just reptile people.
Dan,
I mean,
it's just
the whole thing. I mean, Dan Patrick. His name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the whole thing about, like, well, we're going to, you know, we don't need a rape or incest exception to this, you know, draconian abortion law because we're going to stop rapes in Texas.
Yeah, and Ken Paxton. Yeah. Ken Paxton,
honestly,
the attorney general.
That's like saying we're going to stop bites in the rattlesnake cage. You know, like, it just...
Yeah. Well, and Ken Paxton is even dumber than and more racist than Dan Patrick and Greg Abbott. So it's like a triumvirate of racist morons running the state of Texas, huh? So
they look like thumbs.
Only 36% of Texas voters disapprove of Abbott's handling of the situation at the Mexico border. 50% disapprove of his response to coronavirus. 53% disapprove of how he's handling the issue of abortion. There you go. Jesus.
I'm telling you, Georgia went blue. Texas is next. Yep. And it's going to blow everybody's minds because once they get all voters registered and we can oust these Republicans in the state legislatures that are making these ridiculous anti-democratic laws, it's over for them.
Yep. Okay.
Is somebody suing, by the way, the Georgia law that the legislature can overturn counties?
Everybody's suing.
Okay, the Shadow Docket's coming up next. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking. We put it on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for $5 a month and get 2 Shadow Docket shows every week after the Tuesday and Thursday shows. So meet us over there. Come on, let's go. Everyone, over here, this way.
All
this
the
way.
Cool kids are coming. What, are you scared?
Yeah.
You think your mom will find out?
Take care, folks. Bye-bye.